Welcome to the Vicar Law Podcast, Protecting Legacies, Resolving Conflicts. I'm Lydia Vicar, Director of Vicar Law, where we specialise in succession law, civil disputes and litigation in Queensland. If you want to safeguard your assets, navigate estate planning with confidence, or resolve legal conflicts effectively, you're in the right place. Join me each week as we break down complex legal issues into clear, practical insights, helping you protect your legacy and find solutions with certainty. So let's dive in. Hello and welcome back to the Vicar Law Podcast, Protecting Legacies, Resolving Conflicts. I am your host, Lydia Vicar, Director of Vicar Law. And we are in September, the ninth month of this crazy year flying by. And this month's theme is about enduring powers of attorney. This is a very timely topic for me because if you've been following me on the socials, at the beginning of August, I attended a conference about incapacity or capacity, I guess, which is someone's ability in my context to make testamentary decisions. So there was a lot of talk about enduring powers of attorney, a lot of talk about capacity, what that means, and this is therefore very, very timely. So I thought I would start with the basics of what is an enduring power of attorney. So an enduring power of attorney is a legal document. Now, I will say you can get this document and you know you can look at this while we're going through this podcast. That's available on the Queensland, I think, Department of Justice, I'm pretty sure, website. So it is a form that you prepare, and what you do in the form is you appoint attorneys to make health and or financial decisions for you in certain circumstances. So I'll just split them up. The first decision that you can appoint an attorney for is for personal matters, which includes health matters. Now that's when you're incapacitated. So a medical practitioner has really decided that you can't give informed consent, and therefore your attorneys kick in and make those decisions for you. It is not an advanced health directive, and I will be talking about advanced health directives later in the month, but this is just a very general health personal matters enduring power of attorney. The other part of the enduring power of attorney is financial matters. So your attorney making financial decisions for you in certain circumstances. That includes usually either immediately, so you can make an immediate appointment of an attorney, or when you are incapacitated. My preference for my clients is for that power to kick in when you are deemed incapacitated by a medical practitioner. And I have actually put in my own wording in that part of the enduring power of attorney to make it very clear that that is when it kicks in. There are varying, and if any of my TT Priestons Club fellow lawyers are listening to this, lawyers have different ideas about this. So lots of people actually put immediate power and consider there are other safeguards for the powers of attorney to be used. But what I find is that clients are very happy for it to be when they're deemed incapacitated by a medical practitioner because they don't want to lose that power or someone take over. And I also wonder, you know, in this land of a lot of elder abuse happening, I'm hearing more and more of it. I'm being contacted about it more and more. I wonder whether immediate enduring powers of attorney are appropriate anymore, just in this weird societal climate that we're in. So that is essentially what an enduring power of attorney does. It appoints attorneys to make personal health decisions for you or financial decisions for you in certain circumstances. And just for the purposes of this podcast, I'm going to say when you're incapacitated, because if you get your enduring power of attorney done with me, that's the when I say the power usually kicks in. As always, I'm a lawyer, so there's a caveat. I will say the biggest caveat is I will allow people to do an immediate appointment in circumstances where they are quite elderly and they have someone that's already using that power to help them with their banking, online banking. Or if someone is terminally ill, sometimes they will want an immediate power because they get to a point where they just don't have the capacity and energy to make those kinds of decisions and just need someone to lean on more than anything. So there are certain circumstances, and that is always a conversation that I have. So in the enduring power of attorney, you appoint attorneys and they have to be over 18. They can act in a variety of ways. You can have them acting successively. So your first attorney, if they're unavailable, then your second, if they're unavailable, then your third. You can have them all jointly. You can make them, allow them to make decisions severally. So one can make it without the approval of the other. You can make it by majority. It's very open to how you want to do it. And the way we structure it is really dependent on your personal circumstances. What a lot of people do that are in, you know, kind of that nuclear family is have their spouse as their first attorney and then have their adult children as their joint attorneys, otherwise if the spouse isn't available. Another thing that I do in my enduring powers of attorney is that I put in a bunch of extra clauses. So allowing a few conflict transactions, particularly with your first attorney, if they're your spouse, for maintenance, updating superannuation beneficiary nominations. I also have a temporary guardianship clause that I include as well, and also a clause about digital assets. So whilst it is a form online, it is worth speaking to an estate planning lawyer, because we all, like in my experience, all of us have additional clauses that we put in, really for the principal's protection, but also in some circumstances for the attorney, particularly where that attorney is your spouse. So just making sure everything is up to scratch. You can also have attorneys for the different decisions. So you can do a long form enduring power of attorney whereby you have different people making health decisions and financial decisions. A lot of people do that when they, this is very presumptuous, but are like, oh, my sister, like I really would be happy for her to make health decisions, but she's terrible with money. I don't want her to do financial. And so they'll appoint someone different financially, or some people feel like some people close to them couldn't make those health medical decisions for them. So want someone that's a bit more black and white making those decisions. And it really just depends on your circumstances, but these are all really important, really important things to think about. When I think about enduring powers of attorney now, I think it's ever more important in the current landscape, because capacity and people being diagnosed with dementia and early onset dementia, the complexity moving forward with online banking, even online conveyancing, and the ability of our elder people around us to deal with that, I think is going to become really complex. And I think these enduring powers of attorney are going to become a very central document for people in the future. There's a few things I also want to mention. Enduring powers of attorney and powers of attorney, they're different in every state. So it's not a national law, just like the Succession Act and the succession laws in this country. Different states have different enduring powers of attorney. They have reciprocal arrangements, so they will be recognized in other states, but it is something to think about, particularly if you live on the border of states, if you live on the, you know, in Tweed, sometimes we'll pick the state to do the enduring power of attorney where you're most likely to go to the hospital. That's kind of how we decide. Some people end up doing two, one for New South Wales and one for Queensland. So it's just something to be mindful of. You definitely don't have to, something to be mindful of. And the other thing that I want to mention, and this came up during the incapacity conference, I think it was the the Age Discrimination Commissioner, Mr. Robert Fitzgerald, who was fantastic, really super interesting. But one thing he said, it was a crazy statistic, something like 70% of people don't know that their enduring power of attorney can be revoked. And so I actually make it a point in my appointments now to say to people, you do this enduring power of attorney, but it can be revoked. If you're unhappy with your attorneys, they can be removed. And so that's one thing that I want to emphasize. If you have capacity, you can change and revoke your enduring power of attorney. There are also ways to have that done by going to QCAT. Not the best process, not the quickest, not not a fun process, but it can be revoked. You aren't stuck with them. And if there are people listening and they're worried about their parents enduring power of attorney and who their parents have appointed, you know, let them know that they can revoke them, because quite honestly, people don't realize they can. It was one of those moments where I was like, boom, like Lydia, that was like, that's crazy. So I've been making a real point of saying it to people. So I hope that's given you a nice little overview of enduring powers of attorney in Queensland. If you want to discuss this more with me, you have concerns about an enduring power of attorney, you want to get a new one, you want to revoke it now that you know that they can be revoked, hop on my website, www.vicarlaw.com.au, book a free consultation with me, Lydia Vicar, and we can get it sorted. Next week, we are going to talk about common issues with enduring powers of attorney. So just some things that come up for me in practice and just talk those through. So I'm really looking forward to that conversation, and I will speak to you then. Bye. That's a wrap for this episode of the Vicar Law Podcast, Protecting Legacies, Resolving Conflicts. I hope you found today's insights helpful in navigating your legal journey. If you're ready to take the next step in securing your legacy or finally dealing with your dispute, visit www.vicarlaw.com.au to book a free consultation with me, Lydia Vicar. You can also subscribe to our newsletter or find out more about today's topic. Your future begins now, and we're here to guide you every step of the way. Until next time, I'm Lydia Vicar, signing off. The Vicar Podcast comprises general information and does not serve as a substitute for professional advice. Prior to making any legal decisions, individuals are advised to seek independent professional guidance and assess the suitability of this information for their own individual goals and objectives.